Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here in the KE Report. Chad and I are chatting with Joel Alcon and co-host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show, also editor of the Pre-Market Prep website, which I will post a link to below. Now, Joel, it's been 2 weeks since we chatted. The last day that we actually chatted was at the very end of last month, August 31st, and you were outlining a potential trend in the markets based on the Jewish holidays. It's called Sell Rosh Hashanah and Buy Yom Kippur. Now, yep. You said that, hey, Rosh Hashanah, right around the corner, that usually results in some weakness in the markets. And it was literally a day after, 2 days after we chatted, we started to see this weakness in the U.S. markets. And it's been pretty steady now. I think it's about 7 trading days where the markets have been down. I'm looking at the S&P, and that is very close to that 50-day moving average, which it has continuously bounced off of. But now we're getting closer and closer to the buy Yom Kippur aspect of this trade. Joel, this is playing out exactly as you predicted it 2 weeks ago. Take your victory lap, I guess, but also tell us where you expect us to go here.
Yeah, well, thank you, Corey and Chad, for having me. It's, you know, there's also some other seasonal factors at work as well. September, not being the kindest month in the year to the markets, right? Also, you had the rollover of the futures contract last week, which creates a little extra volatility in the market as traders roll over the positions. That leading up to the quad witch on Friday. So a couple different factors are playing into it this year, but there's no doubt you've had some weakness in the market. But as we've seen before, with these kind of sell-offs, they don't last very long. So today being Tuesday, the conclusion of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur being at sundown on Thursday, coinciding with the quad witch on Friday. So setting up very interesting from just a timing standpoint. From a technical standpoint, you know how I like my technicals, the market is showing some weakness on a weekly basis, right? Daily charts make weekly charts make monthly charts. And, the analysis, the simple analysis that I do, showed a potential chink in the armor last week. Weakness has continued into this week. And I'm sure, as I reiterated, we've only had back-to-back down weeks twice for the entire year, which is pretty unprecedented, once in February and once in April. But that, and with the quad witch on Friday, which marks, you know, a lot of times turning points in the market, which has been turning points higher, you know, really pretty much since the March expiration of last year. So the setup is there. We'll just have to see what the outcome is.
So, Joel, any particular levels or trend lines or moving averages that you are watching closely?
Levels. Yeah, for me is, for that, we rolled over from the September futures right into the December futures, and we have breached the low from last week. Not by much. We did it yesterday. We did it again today. But I'll just go on the close for this week, right? See, we can have that second week, down week close in a row, and two may lead to three. As we stand right now, we ended last week on some weakness at 44.49, currently trading just above that level. So without being, getting too picky with the levels, 44.49, close above that. Show us that we're not going to have another two-week losing streak that could lead to a three-week losing streak.
Yeah, that is the one interesting thing about this losing streak is it has been kind of long, actually, when you compare to just how resilient these markets have been. So we'll see where we go by the end of this week. It seems like the rollover from this week to next week will be important to watch, as weekly closes always are. Joel, let's also talk about the inflation data that came out today. The CPI number was generally softer than expected. this is having some impacts in really investors' mentality on what the Fed is going to do. And if the Fed is going to actually wind back their monetary policy, probably not this month. What was your takeaway from that inflation data that, again, showed inflation a little bit softer, has everybody thinking again that inflation might be transitory?
Just like what Pump and Powell said, right? You know, our fearless leader. I mean, obviously they have a little peek into the data. You did have your supply restraints at the end of last year created some inflationary pressures in some of your commodities. Some of those commodities have come off. Crude has been pretty relentless on its move higher. And now natural gas is trading at a multi-year high. It's going according to script. They're going to try and avoid raising rates this year, maybe early into 2022. And I think that one thing that investors have to keep in mind is that if you have inflation, there can be inflation in stock prices too. So it's not always bad. And another thing, even if you do, I'm more concerned about, rates going up, hurting the economy than I am people pulling their money out of the market and putting in T-bills. So, a little bit of higher interest rates is not bad. Right now, the Fed seems to have nailed, the course of inflation. Now, whether they're finding behind the curve, we'll find out. But this month's data was certainly a relief.
Well, Joel, just taking the other side of it real quick, a lot of times people were quick in the last couple of months when inflation was running hotter to say, hey, let's let this play out. But now there's been one blip down and people are immediately thinking, look, transitory. They were right. But we don't have any idea. Right now, commodities are all up today and the dollar is down and neither one of those is deflationary. That would be inflationary. So it's interesting that in the spite of this report, look at the commodities. They're all up today and the dollar is down. So what do you make of that divergence?
I think that they're looking at it as a one-off. I mean, this is a tough day. There's some days where, you expect relationships to hold up in the markets and they do. And then other times they don't because if you look at it, the banks are getting hit, right? So if it's kind of just a one-off bad report and people are anticipating inflation, then you think you might see some more strength in the banking stocks, but you're not seeing that. On the other hand, if this is a soft number and, inflation is only going to be transitory, then why do you need gold, right? Gold's gone from red to green here, and now it's up 1220. So a confused market, relationships not holding up, and that's just a sign of indecision or a pause. I mean, there's one other thing that you have to think about with rates or the markets is that, you could have long periods of consolidation too. You don't have to necessarily bolt up to 5,000 or crash down to 4,000. There's periods of consolidation and wait and hold. And I think maybe, perhaps, finally, we're entering one of those extended periods.
Well, Joel, in these periods where there's a lot of indecision and there doesn't seem to be a real discernible trend, do you find yourself advising people to just hold through it and just wait for a discernible breakout or breakdown to happen? Or do you start looking at other metrics to find out if there's some unseen opportunity in some of the sectors people aren't watching? What do you do in times like this of market
indecision? I don't
indecision?
Advise people is what I don't do, right?
What do you do?
I'm fully invested. I stay fully invested. And probably will, I'm not good enough to time the market. So periods like this, sit through the consolidation periods. I think everybody has to look at where they're at in their investing time horizon. And I think I probably said this once, I said it 1,000 times on your show. If your listeners are 75, 78, 80 years old, they're looking to retire or live off, their nest egg, that's a whole lot different than someone like you or Corey, who's very early in their investment cycle. So I don't think there's really one blanket observation that I can give people. It's hard to argue with the performance of the market over the long run. So, slow and steady wins the race, and timing the market can be very difficult. What would be, an extended decline in this? The market doesn't really even seem to care that, China locked down a city of 4.5 million, right? That's no big deal. Seems to be that people have discounted, the Delta variant, even though it's not really being reflected in the reopening stocks. And it just seems like this is such a Teflon market that it seems to, rally off good news and rally off bad news as well.
That's a good point there, Joel. One other thing that I just want to bring up, whether you're looking at the bank stocks or even gold, they're still within their ranges, right? We haven't had any necessary breaks out of here. Financial sector is still arguably in an uptrend. Gold is still consolidating sideways, right around 1800. Now, Joel, when we see these inflation data, okay, that gives us something to base this off of. But we also did see the August New York Fed's consumer expectations survey that deals with inflation. And we are seeing inflation expectations continue to increase. Does that matter? Do you think, what does actually matter here? Is it the data? Is it the expectations?
If people start spending less, yes, it does matter. But it seems to be that people are in the spending mood, right? Pent up demand from the pandemic. You're kicking your kid back to school. You didn't buy him clothes last year. You got to double up on clothes this year. So it's concerning, but people are still spending, right? And as long as people are still spending, then that's going to keep the economy going. So, those expectations and those surveys can change, but I think it takes a long time to disrupt, the current trend and the current rate of spending in our country.
Fair enough. That's a very good point there, Joel, as well, just paying attention to if people are actually spending. Joel, let's also talk about some individual stocks, more or less Apple here. Apple has their event today. There's not too much fireworks, it seems like, around this event, but a new iPhone, I'm sure it'll be slightly smaller, have a longer battery life. Also some new AirPods. Anything that you're noting for the Apple event today?
Yeah, nothing so much the Apple event, and we discussed this off air a little bit. The court decision on the royalties being paid to Apple, really a mixed bag out there. Even though the case kind of was ruled against Apple for the most part, they really won a lot of things in it. So I'm looking at who are going to be the winners and losers, down the line from that battle. You can't deny that that's been a good source of their revenue, and I don't have the exact figures, so that could take a hit. Are people going to stop, developing and sending things to the App Store? No. People could also look at this as like an increased incentive, right, to develop now that the royalty fees have been cut. I guess the danger would be if, these companies started to go after back royalty fees. And I think the other thing is one thing we've learned about these court decisions is it's not final until it's final, right? And Epic's the one now appealing because they wanted more. So, it's hard to just base everything off, this court decision when court decisions in and of itself can be reversed.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, Joel, we'll wrap it up here. Look, again, these markets, there's a lot of eyes on the inflation data. But again, the markets are dropping right back down to that 50-day moving average. Lines up perfectly with the Jewish holiday trade that you mentioned. Let's see how it all plays out this week. But again, these markets and a wide range of sectors continue to very much be range-bound, stuck in their ranges. That's what's been making it maybe a little bit more frustrating for investors recently. Joel, thanks as always for your time, buddy. We'll chat next week. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Okay, thank you.